March 3, 1928. How all things start from one point. Sublimeness of the state of Adam. Why our Lord has not manifested his happy state until now. How one who possesses the unity possesses the source of good. My poor heart was swimming in the sorrow of the privation of my sweet Jesus, and I was worried about it. I felt myself being suffocated by sorrow, and at any cost I would have wanted to find the one for whom I am so tortured, so as to speak my anguishes. But while I was thinking of this, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior and told me, "My daughter, do not fear what you feel in your soul, because it is nothing other than the crafting which my divine fiat is doing in you. It is enclosing everything in you, everyone and everything in you, all past and future centuries, so that everything that the supreme volition has done in creation may cast its seed into you, to receive from you the satisfactions and the requital for all of its acts, which creatures owe it. Therefore, do not worry, because in each hour of your life it is centuries that my will encloses, and so it is necessary that one who must have her original act in my will reigning, must have the origin of it, to be able to carry out its divine life. All things start from one point, and from that point they expand and diffuse to all. See, the sun also has its first point, its center of light, its sphere, and from its center it fills with light the whole earth. Therefore, follow my will and do not be concerned." So I continued my round in the divine will, and as I arrived at Eden, to unite myself to the state of Adam before sinning, when he possessed the unity with his Creator, in order to start again my acts together with him, and to make up for him and continue that unity when he lost it by falling into sin, I thought to myself, "We has blessed Jesus not manifested to anyone the sublime state, the wonders that passed between Adam innocent and his Creator, the sea of the happinesses, of the beauties he possessed. Everything was centralized in him, everything started from him. Oh! If the state of Adam, his great prerogatives, were known, maybe all would yearn to return to his origin, from which man came." But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior, and, all goodness, told me, "My daughter, my paternal goodness only manifests a good when it must bring some utility to creatures. If I do not see this, why manifest it? The history of man innocent is too tender for me. In merely remembering it, my love rises, overflows and forms its huge waves to then pour itself as it used to pour itself upon Adam innocent. And finding no one upon whom to pour, because it does not find another Adam who would receive it, capable of giving me his outpourings of love in return, since my divine fiat, ho within him, maintain the reciprocal life of correspondence between the infinite and the finite, my love suffers, and returning my own waves of love into me, because it finds no one upon whom to pour it, it remains suffocated by my love itself. This is why I have not manifested the state of Adam innocent until now, nor did he manifest almost anything of his happy state, because in merely remembering it, he felt himself dying with sorrow, and I felt myself being suffocated by my love. Now, my daughter, wanting to restore the kingdom of my divine will, I see the utility of manifesting the state of Adam innocent, and this is the reason why I often speak to you about his sublime state, because I want to repeat what I did with him, and by virtue of my volition, I want to elevate you to the original state of the creation of man. What can the creature who possesses my fiat, the unity of it, not give me? She can give me anything, and I can give everything. So, being able to give what I manifest, my love does not suffocate my waves. On the contrary, it puts them out, and seeing them reproduced in the creature, it enjoys, and I feel drawn to manifest that which is not known, for their utility and good. If you knew how much I enjoy in giving, how my love celebrates when I see the creature disposed, wanting to receive my goods, you would be more attentive to let me pour out my contained love." After this, he kept silent, and I felt as though sunken in the divine volition. Its wonders, what the soul can do by possessing its will, enraptured me. And I, tiny little one, swam in the sea of light of the fiat, and as I moved, so would waves of light rise, invested with shades of varied beauty, which would then go to unload themselves into the womb of my Creator. And the paternal goodness, seeing himself invested by the waves of his little one, moved his waves toward me. Oh, Supreme Will, how admirable you are! Lovable, desirable, more than life itself. You love me so much as to put me in a contest with my Creator, wanting me to be even with the one who created me. But while my mind was wandering in the fiat, my sweet Jesus added, My daughter, one who possesses the unity of my volition is free to act and to do as much good as she wants, because she has the source of good within herself, she has it at her disposal, she feels within herself the continuous touches of her Creator, the waves of his paternal love, and would feel too ungrateful if she did not form her waves. More so, since she feels her own little sea flow within her soul, from the immense sea of the one who created her. On the other hand, one who does not possess its unity, does not possess the source, therefore, if she wants to do some good, she needs the divine liberality in each good act she wants to do. Almost act by act, she has to ask for the grace to be able to do the good she wants to do. On the contrary, for one who possesses my unity, good converts into her own nature, and if she just wants to operate, she finds the source of good within herself, and she operates.